So if you'll bow your heads, we'll run to him. Say, Father, tonight,
Father, tonight
I need ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
A heart to perceive. What your spirit,
is
saying to me.
Saying to me.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to give you back a little bit of my experience of watching God use so many different things that sometimes he puts together that don't make a lot of sense at the moment. But later on, you catch on. And that's the wisdom of the Lord. I was handed this particular book by Titlian Chavidian. I don't know how else to say it. If I say it real fast, nobody will notice how to spell it. And it did hit home because he happened to be twice. He was on Sunday night, and he was on again last night. He happens to be a grandson of Billy Graham, and went through some, let's say, rebellious times. And he wrote a book called One Way Love, meaning it's not all about how much you love him, meaning the Lord, but how much he loves us. It's not a new message. It's just brought out in a different way. And I didn't get very far. I got to page 46. But I want to read page 32 to you. Just a little excerpt. Grace, grace, grace. What is the definition for this book? Comes from Paul Zoll, and he writes, grace is love that seeks you out when you have nothing to give in return. Grace is love coming at you that has nothing to do with you. Grace is being loved when you are unlovable. The cliche definition of grace is unconditional love. It's true. It's a true cliche. For it is a good description of things. Let's go a little further. Though grace is a love that has nothing to do with you, the beloved, it has everything and only to do with the lover. Grace is irrational in the sense that it has nothing to do with weights and measures. It has nothing to do with my intrinsic qualities or so-called gifts, whatever they may be. It reflects a decision on the part of the giver, the one who loves in relation to the receiver, the one who is loved that negates any qualification the receiver may personally hold. Grace is one-way love. And yesterday, actually Sunday afternoon, my wife and I had to attend a wake because our neighbor across the street passed away. And their children, they had two boys and a girl, were brought up with our kids. And obviously, we've lived across the street, driveway to driveway, for 54 years. So I can't say they don't know us or vice versa. Plus, it's like the third cousin of my wife. So we tried to connect those dots, but we still don't know exactly all the details, but we know they're related. Well, their family loved the Lord from a religious background. Their oldest son is a Roman Catholic priest in Cheshire. I've known him since he was very young. And their second son was my youngest son's best buddy, even though he was older. He really matched up with my youngest son very well. Their daughter died at the age of like 46 or 45.
a few years ago from cancer. So she has two grandchildren there, and she has two other grandchildren plus. The people that God put them with. And notice again, I said God puts them with. They were very dedicated people, loved their family, and did a very fine job. Yesterday, the funeral was at 10 o'clock. We went for the funeral. It was loaded with dignitaries, including the bishop. And the oldest son is the one that did the entire service. And he pointed out that at 12 years old, he was sent away to school. So he lived part-time home in order to complete the mission that he was on from the time he was 12. There were many, many people from the church that he actually supervises up in Cheshire. And there were a whole big group of men from different areas, Vermont, New York, some from different parts of the country where they've been assigned. And the neat part, the bishop came, which was kind of neat, and he did not speak. He just came to support. This young man spoke about his mom, and he spoke about all his relatives for 30-something minutes. And then he did a recognition of all the dignitaries later on for another time slot. And of course, for me, it's 4 years since I lost my mom, and I can remember my emotions and how I couldn't control them. He had an ability to control. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And a good percentage of that service was just outstanding from the compassionate love that was shown to his mom. His mom was very ill. She had lost her ability to function mentally in a very deep way. And of course, the gift was that, you know, the body couldn't function, so God took her home. She had a great love for the Lord, great respect. And I walked away from there and I said, Lord, you know, anybody know what you do when you rehearse what you've just been through? Which took quite a few hours. We met a lot of people. A lot of people that I knew. And this entire service was definitely a focus of her life. There's no doubt about that part. And I'm not trying to be critical. However, I said to the Lord yesterday, as I was reflecting, I didn't hear a great deal about the Savior. I heard a lot about her dedication, but I didn't hear what I would have liked to hear. Now, that's Kim speaking. You understand? It's not a critical moment. It's just where I was at. I was hungry to see if there would have been a little extra given about the grace of God, the favor of God, the mercies of God. There was a mention of the Holy Spirit. There was the whole articulate coordination of the Mass. And they did what, you know, they were taught to do, and they did it well. And I'm not complaining. What I am saying is I was reflecting because I know where God has taken me from where I used to live. That's what I was looking at. Where I was brought up, where I was experiencing the God that I was afraid of, that I no longer am afraid of. I have learned of his grace and his favor. I have learned of his Spirit speaking to me. I have heard and listened to the Spirit speaking through me. And I really would say that it was like watching some of the scriptures come alive in a pharisaical way. When I say that, it's not a judgment call. This is where they live. Under the law, in the ways that they were brought up in. And I'm not saying that God can't change them because he changed me. But he pushed me to make me obey. A lot of what I had to do over those years that I struggled with some of those wars on the inside of me, going from the religious realm to obedience. And then this vision that came was a snapshot of Jesus in the water. And the words that came out last Sunday. You didn't take it seriously when I said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Corporately. You didn't take it to heart. And then I was reading. Jesus entering the city. On a donkey. It also says they did not discern the times. So therefore, judgment came upon the entire city of Jerusalem. Because the religious folks were so focused on their religious agenda. And again, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm trying to tell you where I was and what I was seeing. And I was seeing a lack of discernment in the church. Now, does that make us privileged? To a degree, yes. I can tell you that when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's no way that I can tell you how much persecution we received. I can't tell you how much. Because it's not something I would ever want to rehearse or remember. When our church burnt down, we were asked to go to the next church up the street. And because we sang an incredible song about God the Father being dancing before the Son coming up, we were notified never to come into that church again. That's right. So you see, nothing has really changed in 2,000 years. Just the titles or the headings are there. And I'm not trying to be critical. I am trying to show you the privilege of what God has done in you. And what he is actually doing in you to get you to go higher than you've gone before. To get you to understand what his mercy and his grace is about to do. And the revelatory part of you that is to expound the next level of what he wants to prepare the body of Christ to do. You're not here for your own satisfaction. You're here to be an instrument for his glory. Corporately. Corporately. It's not a single act. It's not you on your motorcycle or you on your horse. You get the point? The Lone Ranger in Christianity is not the future. If you look at the book of Acts, what have you got? 500 people can't get along. They're so critical of each other, they can't stand each other, and the majority leave. Why? Because they're so perfect, they can't stand the neighbor. Amen. Go to any religious church, you're going to find the same problem until you realize you're the problem. Come on. Amen. How many know you're the one that's got the critical mouth? And when you have that critical mouth, you're giving an example of how ugly the other neighbor. You should be interceding for them and praying for them so that they'll come like you. So that way there, the whole church will be like you. What a mess. Yes? If you're looking for the perfect church, don't go there because you'll ruin it.
Amen. Amen.
I'm serious.
You're preaching. Amen.
So if you're looking for a church to be constructing the next level of your walk with God, you're welcome. We're all broken vessels. Every one of us. Every one of us. There's not one that's perfect here. We're perfect by faith. We're perfect. And we are holy by faith. And we're righteous by faith. Yes, we have all those qualities. But he's not done yet. When he came out of the water, where did he go?
The desert.
The desert. Oh, man. You mean we got a test coming up? Yes, we do. We got a test coming up. We're going to be tested, and we are going to be getting to the other side. Amen? Got that point? Yes? All right. But the test is real. And will it shatter your opinion of you? Yes. Who is he working on? He's not working on everyone else and leave you alone.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay? He is working on all of us corporately. And yes, you're going to find that it's not always comfortable, but say, I'm moldable.
I'm moldable.
And I will become.
And I will become.
Like the firstborn son.
Like the firstborn son.
That potter's wheel.
I'm on it.
And it hurts. When he readjusts the clay.
When he readjusts the clay.
Hopefully there's no broken bones.
Hopefully there's no broken bones.
Amen? Amen. What am I saying to you? You know, sometimes we are so set in our ways that God has to kind of crunch us a little. Uh-oh. And if we hear something cracking, it might be your little bit of stubborn bone or whatever that call it, the hip bones connected to the
funny bone.
Yeah, to the funny bone. Yeah. It's not always funny, is it?
Amen.
Okay. As I was reading, to see again what you have done in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I do need to hear and to understand the time of your visitation. Let your plan and your will be seen and heard so that we will be a blessing to you. Those are my notes from this morning. The word was that we are the recipients of the Holy Spirit because that's his spirit that came upon Jesus and it stayed. It also came in fullness, which is a prayer that is being answered. We are in the Jordan and our Father is quite happy. And let me understand also what he's saying. Close your eyes right now. Say, we are his beloved son.
We are his beloved son.
Corporately.
Corporately.
We need each other.
We need each other.
And we'll stick together.
And we'll stick together.
With the Holy Ghost glue.
The Holy Ghost glue.
Let the fire continue.
Let the fire continue.
To burn the chaff.
To burn the chaff.
But to keep the wheat.
To keep the wheat.
So that we can become.
So that we can become.
A holy offering unto him. For his good pleasure. Because he's got a plan.
He's got a plan.
To set the nation free.
That's what Jesus did.
He went from town to town.
And set the captives free.
He had good news for the poor.
Healing for those that were hurting.
And deliverance for those that were crippled.
And stuck.
Some were blind.
Some were lame.
But God was on the job.
Through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Get us ready.
In this testing time. Amen. Let me repeat. Grace is love that seeks you out when you have nothing to give in return. Grace is love coming at you that has nothing to do with you. Grace is being loved when you are unlovable. The cliche definition of grace is unconditional love. It is a true cliche, for it is a good description of the thing. Let go a little further, though. Grace is a love that has nothing to do with you, the beloved. It has everything and only to do with the lover. Grace is irrational in the sense that it has nothing to do with weights and measures. It has nothing to do with my intrinsic qualities or so-called gifts, whatever they may be. It reflects a decision on the part of the giver, the one who loves in relation to the receiver, the one who is loved that negates any qualification to receive the receiver may personally hold. Grace is one-way love. From Father to Son. From Heavenly Father to the corporate Son. May this word permeate you in the days ahead, that you will trust His ability to get through to you in spite of whatever pain you may be in, or difficulty that you may comprehend. And we will be able to come to the point where we will give out grace instead of criticalness, give out favor instead of fault finding. Because you see, as we learn how to receive it, the byproduct is to give it. Amen. And that's not always easy to do.
Amen.
When I was studying this afternoon, I did have a vision. And this vision goes back a few years. And I was in a financial crunch like Mrs. Clinton. When she came out of the White House, she was totally broke, I hear. Her and her husband didn't have a penny. And my experience was a little different than hers, because my wallet was quite empty and so was the bank account. And the car that I was driving had an accident. It wasn't my fault. So the insurance company sent a check. Because it was a rental car, the check didn't come to me because it had to be signed by the one who had rented it. And it was for quite a large sum of money to have the car fixed. Well, they kept the check. So I was stuck with the other part. Yeah. So I made a couple of phone calls and tried to rationalize what was being done to me. And there was no way to get through to these individuals. I couldn't change anything. I couldn't adjust anything. It was just swallow. And so I said, well, I'll get back to you. And they made a few comments, and I just needed to go to my wife, and we both agreed that there was no way that we were going to get milk out of this rock. This rock was not going to give. So we both agreed to give them the amount. And we went out to the Lord and we said, now, Lord, you saw what's been done. And we're expecting. Yeah. We are expecting you to supply our need according to your riches and glory. And look at that. She'll preach better than all of us.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is, there are times